Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
It was good to see you at the Preds game Saturday night.
You as well?
I mean, I'll tell you, that was very, very exciting. I have to be honest with everybody, though. I kind of, you know, I was looking at the standings and everything else because the Predators play at Pittsburgh tonight in their final game of the regular season. And I saw, you know, the Predators have 80 games played, and they will be, you know, or 81 games played, and they'll be done today. Like, that'll be it. And it's like, Edmonton still has three games to play. Like, I think it's just ridiculous. Like, how did they schedule it this way so that the Predators play tonight, and then they may not play until Monday or Tuesday of next week? I mean, that doesn't make any freaking sense whatsoever to me. But again, nothing you can do about it. So again, the Predators taking on Pittsburgh in the season finale tonight. We do have a pair of tickets to give away, and I haven't decided how we're going to do this. So I will decide at some point, and then I'll let you know. Sorry about it. I do want to start on this, though. There are some people, everybody's got an opinion, right? I've got an opinion, Ian's got an opinion, you've got an opinion, we all have opinions. And in the cases of certain NFL teams, they have their own opinion makers, right? Their GM, their coach, their director of college scouting, their assistant GMs, their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator. Everybody's got an opinion. And ultimately, in almost every organization, there's one person whose opinion matters the most. Titans tried it last year where one person's opinion didn't matter the most and they drafted a guard. But there are some opinions that mean more to me than others. Mark Domenech was a very successful general manager when it came to the NFL draft. Now, Domenech, when he was in Tampa Bay, did not win a ton of games. But as far as drafting, Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, etc., solid general manager. And I would like to say that when it comes to opinions that I trust, Mark Domenech is right up there towards the top of the list. And Mark Domenech was on SiriusXM NFL Radio on Friday, and he was talking about what the Titans, he was asked what the Titans should do with the seventh pick. Now, I mean, everybody's talking that they should go offensive line right with the seventh pick, and we've kind of said, okay, if it's not offensive line, then it's going to be Neighbors, Harrison, you know, are they going to trade back Olu Fashanu, maybe go for the right tackle, but we've got a ruled out tight end Brock Bowers as far as this program is concerned. And Mark Domenech had a different opinion on Friday on SiriusXM NFL Radio.
If Brock is there, I think that's too easy of a pick. If not, it feels like it's an offensive tackle. Could they take another pass rusher type of guy? Sure. But my gut instinct is that they want to make sure they secure the offensive line. They did what you said. Right, you get a pass-catching running back on Tony Pollard. You got Tyjae Spears, who obviously can catch the ball well at the backfield. Those two will hopefully complement each other and work really well. But then they also said, hey, look, we're going to solidify our wide receiver room with Treylon Burks, but Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. We've got three guys, three horses, so we don't have to take a wide receiver, you know, in the first round. We feel really good. So it goes back down to me. It's the three choices. It's if the tight end's there, I think it's a Stockton to Malone. I think it's a, you know, slam dunk. But if the tight end's not there, I think it's offensive tackle. And then if it's not, if for whatever reason they like only one of them and that player's off the board, I think that they might be the first team to take the defensive, you know, take Dallas Turner.
A Stockton to Malone slam dunk for Brock Bowers with the seventh pick. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of you out there that are, no, Jared. And again, we've kind of hopped off the Bowers discussion, but you all know I love Mark Domenech. And we talk about this time of the year and guys banging the table for players, standing on the table, guys saying, I believe in this player. And when you listen to Mark Domenech talk about Brock Bowers, he believes in the player.
There's good tight ends, don't get me wrong, but it's just, you know, I like Sanders. He was a little underwhelming in terms of how he worked out, but I like the player on tape and what he can do catching the ball. I'm not worried about the blocking part. But Bowers is like kind of an elite by himself. Hard to walk away from that guy. So, again, as we've talked about off the air and the way I feel on the air, I just at these mock drafts that are showing Bowers at 15 and 16, I just have a hard time believing that's even remotely possible based off of the tape that I've seen and some of the conversations I've had.
Okay, he's telling you, when you see Bowers at 15, 16, that's not happening. and Dominic's pretty plugged in. And Dominic still watches tape, and I know, like, I have all the respect in the world for Mark Dominic, so when he says it, when he stands on the table for Brock Bowers, and he says it's too easy. If Bowers is there, they're going to pick him. They're not even going to think twice. They're going to pick him. I say, okay, let's reopen the case. Let's put Brock Bowers in the mix because Mark Dominic is sold on him. And not only sold on him, but sold on him to you. So I decided to make a pros and cons list when it comes to Brock Bowers. Here are the pros. Number one, he's an elite touchdown scorer. And as Brian Callahan made sure everybody knew in his second interview as Titans head coach when he came on this program, he values elite touchdown scorers over non-touchdown scorers, thus Bowers, unlike Joe Alt, scores touchdowns. Number two, he's insanely versatile for an offense that is probably going to value versatility, and the Titans don't really have a slot receiver. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Also, you know I'm not sold on the tight ends the Titans have. Everybody tells me Chig's good. I mean, I watched Chig elevate to tight end one last year and forget how to catch the football. So I have a hard time saying, oh no, can't draft him because of Chig. Number three, Bowers is one of what I consider eight elite players in this draft. We can call them the Elite Eight. Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Dallas Turner, and Brock Bowers. The eight elite prospects in this draft. The eight where there is not a massive red flag that says, you know, this guy might not be a good NFL player because of this. And you've got an elite pick. If there are eight elite players in this draft and you're picking seventh, well, that's the positive of sucking so bad last year. A good tight end is a young quarterback's best friend, and the two best tight ends in the NFL, Kelce and Kittle, both ended up in the Super Bowl. Both are on perennial contenders. So those are the pros when it comes to Brock Bowers. Now the cons. Brock Bowers is kind of small for a tight end at 6'3", 243. And he's probably not going to be a good blocker. You know, Gronk, 6'6", 265. And again, when we're talking about Brock Bowers here, we're talking about he's got to be better than a good tight end. He's got to be better than a great tight end. A great tight end in the NFL is Mark Andrews in Baltimore. It's TJ Hockenson in Minnesota. You know, maybe Sam Laporta with the Lions ends up in another class. Right now, I'd say Laporta's in that. Kittle and Kelce, they're not. I don't put them in the tight ends group. Just like I don't put Shannon Sharp and Gronk in the tight ends group. They were more than a tight end. But Gronk was 6'6", 265. Kelce's 6'5". Kittle's 6'4". And those guys are each 250. And Bowers is smaller than all of them. Bowers didn't run a 40. Didn't run a 40 at the combine. Didn't run a 40 at Pro Day. Ian? That's a big deal on this program that you don't run the 40.
Yes, it is.
And not only that, I'd love to know how fast he is. He reportedly was 4.5 in high school. Now, that is receiver speed, but is he still that after 3 years at Georgia? He was injured last year. That's another con. We don't like injuries. And while Bowers plays kind of a different position, you know, that Swiss Army knife position where you put him in the slot, you put him out wide, you put him in the backfield, you put him on the line, you do all kinds of different things with him. You move him around and kind of create advantages with the matchups. He still is a tight end, and tight end is not a premium position. Whereas left tackle, Joe Alt, plays a premium position. Edge rusher, Dallas Turner, plays a premium position. And wide receiver, Malik Nabers, plays a premium position. So when I hear a guy like Mark Dominic bang the table and he says Brock Bowers is an elite player, he says Brock Bowers is not lasting till the 15th or 16th pick in the draft, and that for the Titans, it would be a slam dunk, a Stockton to Malone slam dunk to draft Brock Bowers at 7, I say, okay, let's put up the pros and the cons. And I think ultimately the pro for me is that would give the Titans five legitimate pass catchers for Will Levis. You know, guys that I don't have huge fears about one way or another, right? Bowers, Ridley, Hopkins, Pollard, Spears. Five. How many guys go out into the pattern on a given play? How many eligible receivers are you allowed to have on any given play? Five. So that's kind of the pro. The con? He doesn't play left tackle. Like that's the con right there. So what do we make of it? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. My gut tells me I wouldn't do it. You know, if it's Alt or Turner or Neighbors or Bowers, my gut tells me I wouldn't do it. But when a guy that I have as much respect for as I have with Mark Dominic is so solidly sure about someone as he is on Brock Bowers, it makes me think that we as a group need to reopen the discussion. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. And on the Brock Bowers front, could the Titans, some of their words, some of the things they've said, could the Titans actually be pretty interested in Brock Bowers and we not know it? We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on the program. We're starting there. We're reopening the discussion. Is Brock Bowers in play at 7 here on Stillman & Company? Let's talk about Window Nation. April is here, and it's hot outside. And so if your windows do not open and they do not close correctly, you're going to have some problems when it is hot outside. The sun hits the windows and everything. You want to make sure your windows are up to snuff, and Window Nation can do that for you. If your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation today. Because right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. And there is no limit on how much you can save. Plus, you can save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. So again, you buy two windows, you get two windows free. No payments, no interest for 24 months. Do not miss out now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Here at Radio Row, quick one here with Brock Bowers, a Georgia tight end. So you know you just made waves in Nashville by going on Pro Football Talk and saying you want to play for the Titans. So why exactly you want to play for the Titans?
I mean, I think it'd be cool. I mean, I've been up there a couple times to Tennessee, and I mean, I kind of would love to stay in the Southeast, so yeah.
Ah, insightful. Brock Bowers on our show at the Super Bowl. So, again, Mark Dominic, SiriusXM NFL Radio, the old Bucks GM, guy I have a lot of respect for. Mark Dominic said that he thinks it's a slam dunk that the Titans should take Brock Bowers. And I mean, again, just the way he said it was like, I mean, if the tight end's there, you don't walk away from that tight end. And I'm like, they don't have a left tackle. They also don't have a right tackle. Which tells you how much Mark, a guy, again, I have a lot of respect for, tells you how much he believes in Bowers. And he knows they don't have a left tackle or a right tackle, by the way, too. Mark Dominic lives in town, but I don't know whether or not he's got a relationship with Rand Carthon or if he's got a relationship with Brian Callahan. I don't think that they've ever crossed paths working together, but again, that doesn't mean that they don't have relationships or that he doesn't have some kind of inside info or anything. But let's operate under the guise that he doesn't, because I don't think he does. I do wonder if Brian Callahan has been talking up Chig Okonkwo and Josh Wiley to maybe throw people off the scent of Brock Bowers. This was last week, asked about the tight end position. Here's what Brian Callahan said.
We need tight ends. We do. We only got three on the roster. We'll obviously take quite a few more than that at the training camp. So that's a position of need just in terms of the numbers. Feel really good about Josh Wiley and his development. Feel good about Chig, where he's at. We got two young players we're excited about. Obviously three tight ends isn't what you're going to take in the training camp. So there's going to be some spots to add, whether that comes from a veteran player after the draft, whether it comes from a draft pick at tight end. Remains to be seen, but certainly need to add more than what we have currently. We'll probably take at least five, probably six tight ends in a training camp. Generally speaking, that's usually where you're at. So there'll be some guys added to that room at some point.
I like Chig. I like Wiley, but we're going to add to the tight end position because we're going to go into training camp with more tight ends. And I was thinking about, okay, if you're going to add tight ends, you guys know me. I'm not a Chig fan as far as Chig being tight end number one. I bought the hype last year. I'm not doing it this year. I think if the Titans go into the regular season with Chig as their number one tight end, it is because, well, you know, we tried to patch up as much as we could, but we're just going to have to suck it up with a tight end who can't catch. And it is not a great blocker. We're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it. And our second tight end can't ever stay healthy. And that's just, again, reality. I'm not trying to crap on these guys. I'm just telling you how it is. But if that's the case, why weren't the Titans in on any of the tight ends in free agency? And I'm not talking about, you know, the Titans going out and signing a massive deal for a tight end the way they signed Calvin Ridley, because outside of Hunter Henry, who re-signed in New England, I think, before free agency opened, you know, there Dalton Schultz re-signed before free agency opened. There weren't a lot of those guys out there. But C.J. Uzomah signed a one-year, $1.4 million contract last week with the Eagles. Now, C.J. Uzomah had two, I think, forgettable years with the Jets. Then again, a lot of people have forgettable years with the Jets. But C.J. Uzomah was on the Cincinnati Bengals in 2021 when they went to the Super Bowl. And C.J. Uzomah was their number one tight end. And so if Brian Callahan is really looking to upgrade the tight end room, even if it's not at starter, he could go give C.J. Uzomah $1.4 million and say, okay, Uzomah, Chig, and Wiley are the three guys, and if Wiley and Chig outplay them, then they start. And if not, at least I know I can rely on C.J. Uzomah. Drew Sample was the number two tight end last year behind Hayden Hurst in Cincinnati. Was the number two tight end in Cincinnati last year. Hurst, I believe, had gone to Carolina after a good year in Cincinnati. And Drew Sample signed a three-year, $10.5 million contract to stay with Cincinnati, but it's really a one-year, $2.3 million contract. So why haven't the Titans been interested in tight end at all? You can't tell me that Brian Callahan is convinced he's got a true starting tight end in Chig Okonkwo. Chig Okonkwo hasn't done anything that would make you think that he's a true starting tight end. I think Pro Football Focus had Chig rated as the number 32 tight end in the NFL. You might say, well, 32, that's a starter, Jared. Okay, the last starter. Not the same as Brock Bowers. So I wonder if the reason why Callahan talks so glowingly about Chig and Wiley, even though saying, hey, well, you know, we're going to have to add some tight ends, is maybe to throw some of the scent off on Brock Bowers so that nobody thinks they could be looking at him when it comes to that seventh pick. And you'll say, well, but Jared, I mean, you know, that why would they throw off the scent if you're already thinking maybe they threw off the scent by not going to Joe Alt's pro day? Or, well, they can throw off the scent on multiple guys. You know, let's say there's three guys you love, Neighbors, Alt, and Bowers. Well, you don't want anybody to know that you love any of those guys because you don't want somebody to call the Giants. You know, Darren Waller might retire. You don't want somebody to, you know, get in the Giants' head that Tennessee might take Brock Bowers, and then they say, okay, well, we'll take Brock Bowers. Now, in that case, that would leave a Neighbors for you, or that would leave, you know, an Alt for you. Guys I can live with if they draft, but again, if you like a guy, regardless of how well you like him, you don't want anybody to know you like him at all. And so that's where I sit on the Bowers front, where I do wonder if, you know, I do wonder if Brian Callahan sees a role for Brock Bowers on this football team and sees a possibility for him at seven, the way that, again, Mark Dominic says, stocked into Malone slam dunk. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michael is going to kick us off here today on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree with you. I'm probably a lot of other people. I think if Joe Alt is there at seven, no questions asked, take Joe Alt, be done with it. But if the if someone were to jump up to five and take Alt, or the Chargers end up taking Alt for some reason, if Joe Alt is gone in any way, I think the possibility of trading down with someone like Minnesota, like we've discussed about on the program for the past couple weeks, Minnesota trying to trade up to seven to get someone like J.J. McCarthy, I think 11 is probably a perfect place to get Brock Bowers at, because you think that Atlanta probably won't take him, Chicago probably won't, and I can't remember who's at number 10, but the Jets won't take him.
How are you sure these teams won't take him? Why would the Jets not take Brock Bowers?
Kyle Pitts. The Falcons have Kyle Pitts. The Bears have Cole Kmet. And I don't think that the Jets, they need to shore up the offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers more than they need a tight end, in my opinion.
So you're just making a bunch of assumptions here. And, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Michael. I get it. But, like, Cole Kmet? Thank you for your call. Cole Kmet? Really? Like, again, we're talking about when it comes to Bowers. And I'm still nervous about Bowers, because I'm not sure Bowers does anything really, really well, like elitely, if that makes any sense, right? You know, he's super athletic for a tight end, but he's not super athletic, period, for the NFL. He's not Javon Kearse. So that's not really an elite skill. He does not have elite hands. He's not a great inline blocker, but he's that Swiss Army knife that can play everywhere. And so it's the idea that you can move him around and throw him the ball and get the right matchups to where he's probably too big for a DB, and he's too fast for a linebacker, which is what Travis Kelce is. That's what we're talking about here. And when I think about Travis Kelce, I don't look at Travis Kelce as a tight end the way that we're talking about Cole Kmet as a tight end. And plus, Kyle Pitts is a bust. I mean, he's not awful, but he has certainly not been the superstar can't miss that people thought he was going to be coming out of Florida. And that was, I think, was a lot based on his athleticism and what he could develop into. With Bowers, he has been that in college, what he should be in the NFL. But I'm not making an assumption at all that the Bears at 9, that have two receivers, they think they have a left tackle, they've got an edge rusher, they've got a corner, they're going to have their number one quarterback. I am not ruling out that they take Brock Bowers. Not if he's as good as Mark Dominic says he is. Hell, I'm not even ruling that the Chargers take him, don't take him at 5 if he's as good and thought of as highly in league circles as Mark Dominic says he is. Just like when it comes to Alt, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, we could trade back with this team. Well, first of all, that team has to want to trade back with you. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you trade back, there's no guarantee that you get your player. And I'll give you an example. Let's use Joe Alt as the guy we're talking about here. He's on the board at 7, and so is one of the receivers. You know, Neighbors, Harrison, Adunze, you know, one of those guys, they're also available. And Chicago at 9, or let's use Bowers, you know, as the available receiver. Chicago at 9 calls you at 7 and says, hey, we'll give you next year's 2, or we'll give you next year's 1. We'll do something, you know, well, next year's 1 you have to take, but we'll give you next year's 2. They don't have a second this year. We'll give you next year's 2. We're going to move from 9 to 7. You know there's a chance with a rookie quarterback. Chicago may not be very good, so that may be the 35th pick in next year's draft. Very, very solid asset. It's not great, but it's solid. Well, Atlanta's got Jake Matthews. They're not going to take Joe Alt. So, yeah, make the move. Flop. Now you go to 9. Now you still get Joe Alt, right? Oh, no. The Jets just called Atlanta, and now they've moved from 10 to 8, and now they take Joe Alt. So if you really like the player and he's there, you have to take him. And again, any of these trade-out scenarios move you off of the 7th pick, and I think there are 8 elite prospects in this draft. So if you don't stay within the 8, there's a chance you're not getting one of the elite prospects in this draft, and there's no point to have gone through the misery of last season the way that we went through the misery of last season to not pick up an elite player in this year's draft. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So speaking of Bowers, the draft guru of The Athletic, Dane Brugler, was on Robbie and Rex Road today, and they asked him about this particular situation, what Brugler had to say, and why I think it may even make it more palatable to take Bowers with the 7th pick. We'll get to that, and of course, we're right to your phones. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
Would that be a crazy option for the Titans at number 7 overall? How do you view Bowers and where he fits into this mold here?
And crazy, no. Risky? Sure. Just because you look at the hit rate at the position and you know, drafting a tight end that early, especially when if he's drafted at number 7 overall, he's going to enter the NFL as one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. So, you know, there is risk involved, but like you said, when you watch his tape, you just come away saying, okay, yeah, this guy is just so dynamic. He can be a playmaker. It really comes down, if you're a general manager, you have to have a lot of trust in your offensive play caller that he's going to understand how best to use a talent like this, because you can't draft Brock Bowers 7th overall and then just plug him in as an inline tight end and not really feature him like he should be featured. So with Brock Bowers, that's the key, is the versatility that he offers. You want to line him up as a slot receiver, he can do that no problem. You want to line him up outside, he could be an X receiver. I mean, he could be a Z. You can line him up in the backfield. You can line him up on the wing. Doing whatever you want to do with Brock Bowers is kind of the key to really opening up everything he can do and what that means to the entire offense, because the defense has to account for Brock Bowers on every single play.
That was Dane Brugler, the Athletic's draft guru. His new guide, The Beast, is out. If you're a subscriber of The Athletic, you can pull it up. And Robbie asked him right there. He said, so what about Bowers at 7? And the two things he said when it comes to Bowers at 7 that he'd say, well, you know, it's risky. First of all these picks are risky, right? Like, you blow this pick for whatever reason, and you're probably getting fired. Like, I'm just going to tell it like it is. You know, this is the 7th pick. You don't get to miss on the 7th pick in a draft unless you pull something out of your ass. You don't get to pick, you know, miss on the 7th pick and then get to make it again the year later when you're picking at 4. You know, normally teams, they would want to see some progress around here. So the two things he said that he would say, okay, you know, here's the two things with Bowers. Number one, because of the rookie wage scale, Bowers would be one of the highest paid tight ends in the NFL if you drafted him 7th. So, why do I give a rat's ass about that? That's Kansas City's problem. That's San Francisco's problem. That is when Sam LaPorta signs a new contract, Detroit's problem. That's not my problem. Right? Like, I'm drafting a tight end 7th, and he's going to be making a lot of money, but anybody that's, I mean, you took a guard last year and he was like the 3rd highest paid player on your team. Like, it's just reality. I mean, why do I care about what the rookie wage scale says Brock Bowers would make? So I don't care about that. And then the second thing was, you know, do you have a coach that can feature Brock Bowers? Because you can play him in the slot, you can put him at an X position, you can put him in the backfield. Basically, if the Titans lined it up the way I think they could line it up, which is with the 5 eligible pass catchers on any given play being Ridley, Hopkins, Bowers, Okonkwo, and then one of the 2 running backs, or if you want to use the 2 running backs, which I think would be awesome if they found a way to use the 2 running backs in a passing game. But in that sense, you've got those 5 eligible receivers. Well, now just pick the matchup, right? Like, where's their worst guy? All right, he's on Hopkins? Throw the ball to Hopkins. Simple as that to me. But the idea is, well, if you don't have a creative coach who doesn't use him right and they use him like a regular tight end, you're not going to get all the benefits of Brock Bowers, and he wouldn't be worth the 7th pick. Well, don't we all expect Brian Callahan to be able to take what he's given and make the most out of it? Isn't that why you hire the guru coach? Because it's like, hey, not everything here is going to be great, but I need you to take what we've got, and I need you to make it work. And Sean McVay took over a Rams team that was awful on offense, Jeff Fisher's last year. People thought Jared Goff might be a bust, and it was like, all right, Sean McVay, figure it out. And all of a sudden, guys like Tyler Higbee started becoming big parts of that offense because it's what they had, right? That's what good coaches do. So I don't worry about the fact that Bowers would be making a lot of money. That's not my problem. And I don't worry about, you know, do you have a coach that would be able to use Brock Bowers the right way to take advantage of a skill set? I mean, I freaking hope so. Or else you hired a bad coach. And I don't think they hired a bad coach. So I mean, just, again, those things, those don't bother me. And, you know, Brugler kept talking about he's one of the 10 best players in the draft. Well, again, you're picking 8th. I mean, excuse me, you're picking 7th. I think there's 8 elite players in this draft. And you got to come away with one or else there's no reason to stink so bad and get the good pick. One texter says, Brian Callahan has not coached a system that emphasizes a premier tight end, has he? Not in Denver, not in Cincinnati. So I believe he was in Detroit when Eric Ebron was there, who they had taken very high in the first round. And I know Ebron did not have the career in Detroit that he ultimately, like, he became a very good player. It's kind of like Evan Engram where he became a better player somewhere else he went. But when he went to Indy with Andrew Luck, he was a much better player. Again, if you're going to look at Brock Bowers as a tight end, just TE, that's it. Like, that's the position he's playing, and I want him on the line, and I want him to be Frank Wycheck. If that's going to be the way you play him, he's not worth the seventh pick. But if you're going to look at Bowers and run him out there and break the huddle, and the defensive coach does not know when you're in the huddle where he might go, and so he might be in the slot, and that might be a problem. He might be outside, and that'll be a problem. He might be in the backfield, and that'll be a problem. He might be. That's a problem for a defensive coach. Remember how much we used to get on Todd Downing all the time when all of a sudden, you know, first and 10 and running on the field is Cody Hollister, NWI, Jeff Swaim, and Derrick Henry. Hey, defense, we're running. And then Derrick Henry would lose a yard because he'd get tackled in the backfield. He'd get hit 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He'd lose 1 yard because he's Derrick Henry, and he'd make up the other three. And then all of a sudden on second and 11, out go those guys, and in comes Woods and Burks and Chig and Hilliard would come in the game. Hey, defense, we're passing. Well, if you've got Brock Bowers on your team, you don't have to do that. And I would hope, and we'll see how Brian Callahan plays it, but I would hope that DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley are staying on the football field. And between the two running backs, there is no tell, at least not yet, as to whether or not you're passing or running. Though, I will say, Pollard, as far as the analytics are concerned, Pollard is a far better runner than he is a pass catcher. And he's a better runner than Spears. And so as of right now, probably view it as Pollard's the running back, and Spears is more of the receiving running back. But I do think that the Titans wanted at least a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of interchange there when it comes to those two guys. But if you're just going to say, okay, Bowers is playing tight end, the traditional tight end, the Mark Andrews tight end, and Mark Andrews is a good player, but if that's what we're talking about, you can't pick him seventh. But if Brian Callahan is going to feature him as a Swiss Army knife super player, then you absolutely can take him seventh because he's got the talent in order to go seventh. 615-737-1025. A lot of phones on this. We'll continue. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Again, this all started because Mark Domenech, former NFL general manager, said on SiriusXM NFL Radio that even if Joe Alt's there, like, it is a slam dunk. Bowers at seven, Stockton to Malone. I'm like, what? So we reopened the Bowers case, and I'm starting to kind of talk myself into it a little bit, but it's still kind of hard for me not to get over the fact that they don't have a tackle. More of your phone, Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 The Game. I'm going to give something away, but first, I'm going to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. Ian, X the phones so nobody can win until I tell you to call in. FanDuel Sportsbook's my official sportsbook app. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. So the Lakers are going to be in this play-in tournament. The Bulls are going to be in this play-in tournament. There's a lot of big names that are going to, LeBron's obviously in it with the Lakers in there, so whatever. Three-pointers made in the game, over, under, first basket, you name it. It's all there. Just go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JGM. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, and my official sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. So, now I'm going to give something away. Who wants a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park on Thursday? Be caller 5 when Ian unlocks the phones at 615-737-1025, and you will be going to see the Sounds. Ian, you may unleash the hounds.
offense.
If Brock is there, I think that's too easy of a pick. If not, it feels like it's an offensive tackle. Could they take another pass rusher type of guy? Sure. But my gut instinct is that they want to make sure they secure the offensive line. They did what you said, right? You get a pass-catching running back on Tony Pollard. You got Ty J. Spears, who obviously can catch the ball well at the backfield. Those two will hopefully complement each other and work really well. But then they also said, hey, look, we're going to solidify our wide receiver room with Treylon Burks, but Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. We've got three guys, three horses, so we don't have to take a wide receiver, you know, in the first round. We feel really good. So it goes back down to me. It's the three choices. It's if the tight end's there, I think it's a Stockton to Malone. I think it's a, you know, slam dunk. But if the tight end's not there, I think it's offensive tackle. And then if for whatever reason they like only one of them and that player's off the board, I think that they might be the first team to take the defensive, you know, take Dallas Turner.
There you go. That was the Dominic take on SiriusXM NFL Radio that's got us started. Hey, are we in the Bowers discussion here? Texture says, if the Giants decide to roll with Daniel Jones as their quarterback and draft Joe Alt at 6, would it be crazy for the Titans to take one of these premier receivers at 7? Having a guy like Adunze or Neighbors not only elevates the passing attack, but also gives them a clear-cut number one receiver going into next year with an older Ridley and Hopkins being uncertain. So I think that, to me, Neighbors and Harrison are the two elite receivers. I know everybody says there's three and then there's the drop. I think that there's Neighbors and Harrison, then Adunze, then everybody else. And so I don't count Adunze in that group with Neighbors. I think they're different. I think they're the number one thing. You know, and for a while I was stuck on, you know, they got to use this pick for their tackle. Like, it has to be their tackle that they use that seventh pick. So if they trade out of 7 and they move down, and then they still have to take Fashanu or Faltanu or Mims or one of those guys later in the first round that is their left tackle. But I think now what I've decided is sticking to the Elite Eight. And somebody texted in and said Adunze is elite. Again, this is just my grouping. And I might be willing to throw Jaden Daniels out of this because I think Jaden Daniels is so offensive specific. Like, if you're going to draft Jaden Daniels, and I see a lot of, you know, Vince Young in Jaden Daniels, and I thought that Jaden Daniels, you know, like, I when I say Vince Young, I thought Vince Young was awesome. And I think that the Titans, Jeff Fisher, just screwed up. Because he's such a moron when it comes to developing quarterbacks and everything else that, you know, he ruined Vince Young as much as anything. They didn't put an offense around Vince Young. They didn't design the offense for Vince Young. They had that bozo Norm Chow as his coordinator. So I see a lot of Vince Young and Jaden Daniels. So if you're going to draft Jaden Daniels, you got to do things the Jaden Daniels way. Like the offense around Jaden Daniels. So that wouldn't fit Brian Callahan. But again, I think there's 8 elite players. The 3 quarterbacks, Harrison, Neighbors, Alt, Dallas Turner, who was an 18-year-old, you know, rushing the passer in the SEC, and Brock Bowers. But don't have Adunze in there, don't have Fashanu in there, don't have, you know, these are the guys where there's not really a knock. Don't have Terrion Arnold in there. Certainly don't have J.J. McCarthy in there. But I think that if you've got the 7th pick in a draft where there are 8 elite players, you need one of those players. And that would be the most important thing. So when you say, okay, if the Giants take Alt, then could you go and grab Neighbors? Yes. You need elite players. And nobody will remember. And I understand you got to draft for need at some point, and you got to have a tackle. When you talk about the right tackle story, you got to also have a left tackle. But nobody will remember 6 years from now what you needed when you went into the draft. They'll just remember whether or not you drafted Aaron Donald or you didn't. One texter says, Bowers might be very special, but I still don't see him adding more offensive production to the team than a top left tackle. If the Titans have already had at least a mediocre left tackle on the roster, then I might agree going with Bowers. However, the tackles are the absolute worst in the league. What is the point of adding another offensive weapon if Levis is still feeling pressure early on most snaps? So that's, I think, why they brought in Andres Pete. Remember, they brought him in on a visit. Andres Pete is a left side of the line offensive lineman. He's played at left tackle. he's played at left guard. I believe he was either a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro at left guard. Then last year, he kicked out to left tackle because Trevor Penning, remember when Arden Key, you know, made Trevor Penning his in that first game? It got to the point where they couldn't play Trevor Penning there anymore, and Andrus Peat was the left tackle of the Saints. And I think Andrus Peat, you know, for the most part, was solid. Wasn't terrible, wasn't great, wasn't. They brought him in for a visit. They didn't sign him. And I didn't like that they didn't sign him because I think he could be a good swing tackle even if they draft Alt. I'd like to have the insurance there. But would that be the mediocre left tackle that we're talking about here, signing Andrus Peat to a one-year, $10 million contract if you draft Bowers, if you draft Neighbors, if you draft one of those other players as opposed to Alt? Because, again, you know, I don't know if we look at these, like, and this is where you grade out the players, you know, 8-0 is 7-0, 8-0, however you want to go, is the best. Dominic said on Friday on NFL Radio that 8-0 is the best for a non-quarterback. So if Bowers is an 8-0 and Alt is an 8-0, then do you just default to, well, we need a left tackle? So take the 8-0 at left tackle. But what if Bowers is an 8-0 and Alt is a 7-5? Now you're taking a worse player. And again, that goes back to the whole concept of elite touchdown scorer versus non-touchdown scorer. LD from McMinnville says, all I have to say is your draft night show will be a must-watch. Chris, Derek, Trevor, Jared. And again, I don't want to sit back. I don't want to be the guy who, you know, is like, I don't want to be a carnival act here, what I'm saying. But like, if you've ever listened to the draft shows in years past, you know that the Titans pick is usually pretty eventful on the 102.5 The Game draft night show. The Dylan Raidens, the Monty Rice, the guard last year at 11. I couldn't believe they took a freaking guard at 11. Oof, can't believe it. One texture says, Mark Dominic's record as a GM in Tampa was 28-52. If he was really that good, why wouldn't he have lasted more than 4 years as a GM? First of all, every general manager that's on the radio has been fired. Floyd Reese got fired, and I'd like to think that Floyd Reese is a pretty good general manager. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Dominic has a scouting background, and if you look at what happened in Tampa Bay with him as the coach, I think there were a couple things at play. First off, ownership wanted to hire Greg Schiano. I think that's probably part of it. But the second part is they missed on Josh Freeman. And I've talked to Dominic about them missing on Josh Freeman. But they didn't miss on Gerald McCoy, and they didn't miss on Levante David, and they didn't miss on a lot of the players that got second contracts. You guys bitched for forever that John Robinson was such a bad general manager because none of these guys got second contracts. Dominic's guys did get second contracts. So I have a lot of respect when it comes to his ability to spot talent and some of the things that he said. You know, they stick with me. Does everything that he says stick with me? No. I mean, I'm still leaning towards rolling with Alt over Bowers at 7. And he thinks it's a slam dunk to go with Bowers. But I take what he says seriously. I mean, his opinion matters to me. 615-737-1025. Speaking of Dominic and his opinion, there was one other thing he just kept hitting on when I was listening to him on SiriusXM NFL Radio on Friday that I went and basically did a research project today on. And it really probably should change, at least for me. You know, I'm not going to say it should change for you. It can do whatever it wants for you. It changes for me the entire concept of trading down. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Score big with Lee Company and the Predators in the Predators 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. Go to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter, and they are taking contest entries until April 20th.